color guy I'm telling you about. Would you believe it? He makes as much money as me.
Then he must be twice as smart as you.
From the KKFI studios in Midtown, it's time for Khadija and the White Guys.
Good morning, everybody. It's Keith Washburn, the White Guy.
And I am Khadija Hardaway, Toot-toot baby this morning.
All right. We have two guests with us this morning. We're going to be talking a lot about what I would call the race issues in Kansas City and in the United States. But we're also going to talk a little bit about worldwide kind of Muslim issues and so forth. Both of our guests are Muslim. I have Noor Higley, co-founder of Muslim Civic Initiative, and our guest also is Murad Bahasuddin, who is with an organization called MOVE, M-O-V-E. Welcome to both of you.
Good morning.
And thank you very much for having me. This is Murad Bahasuddin.
Yeah.
Yes. We kind of grew up together. Red light, green light.
Man, this is my sister.
I go see potluck like, dinner.
This is like a family reunion.
It is. I mean, we can really go there.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And I'm pretty sure we get a bunch of viewers talking about back in the day.
Back in the day, you know how we did it.
<I know>.
Oh, so you all know each other.
Oh, my God.
I spent many, many evenings at the dinner table.
My sister Khadija. Don't start talking about my mom's, because we could go all night.
Over on Benton Boulevard?
Benton Boulevard.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Wonderful. Yes. Wonderful childhood.
It was, and it's a pleasure to have you sitting here with me, and knowing that you're doing so many great things. So let's get into it. Let's not spend time on our childhood
Right, because you know we will.
Yeah. Let's talk about your organization, MOVE. That's an acronym, right?
Okay. Yes, MOVE is an acronym. It stands for Men of Vision and Empowerment. The beautiful thing about the acronym is that this is nothing that I created. It was a group of men. I texted every man that was in my phone, and I said, you know, there are some things that we need to do and come together as men to help enrich our communities. And we didn't have any idea of what we were going to do. We wanted to do something that was positive, and we came up with that name collectively.
Okay, so what is your mission?
Our mission is to help empower and inspire young men.
Through what? How do you do that?
Through education, through etiquette, through helping them with employment. What we do is we take them out on learning excursions right now and take them through experiences in life that we can help them in economics, to help empower them.
What makes your organization any different from some of the organizations that are already out here doing that, like Higher Aspiration and Males to Men?
Right. We love the other organizations. There's no competition with the other organizations. We actually try to collaborate with the organizations. But what makes our organization different is that we understand that if we just get a bunch of men together and we raise in quintessential young males to be really good, upstanding citizens,
he's still missing. Big old words. I was listening to T.I. He was talking about words. Quintessential.
Quintessential, the perfect example of a male. If we help create that, something is still missing for society. And that is something that's going to help balance him. And that is, how do you work with and move forward with the opposite sex, women, that quintessential woman? So what makes our organization different
that
is that we have
me.
I knew you was going to take credit for that. But what makes our organization unique is that we have a sister company that's called LOVE, Ladies of Vision and Empowerment, and which mirrors us. So when we mentor, we understand that some men or some boys need that understanding of the opposite sex and
You need a woman's touch. Let's just be honest.
I didn't want to say that.
You need a woman's touch. I mean,
you need the
brains behind the mission.
See, now why you have to call it brains? Well, you know, I'm not going to argue with that because.
Well, I could do that with you. I don't know about everybody else.
But I'm going to tell you something about our organization. Even internally within MOVE, we have women that's on our board because we understood starting off, we did not want just our ideas. We needed the female's ideas.
You need a holistic look for a man to be.
See, there you go.
Man.
See how you put it.
Yeah,
But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We needed that, and we want to teach that to our young men.
You know, growing up with you, Murad, and my brothers, and you know, people like Suleiman, which I know is a part of your organization.
Yes.
Watching you guys, I wouldn't have never known that the black community suffered the way it does.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because we come from stock that really instills mm-hmm. something great in us.
Right.
How are you going about instilling that in the young men, because they don't have the same backgrounds that we come from?
Oh, man. Khadija, I tell you what, we adopted a school. And starting off, we wanted to concentrate on education and creating and getting that knowledge into our kids, making sure that our youth know first to love who you are, be proud of who you are, because I remember some of those fundamental principles that were taught to us, and I know you understand that. But a lot of our youth, they don't have the mother and the father together.
Right.
And the community isn't quite the same that it was in our reality. Their reality is they need that help.
Right, right. So they need a substitute, something to plug the hole of a
They need
parent.
It tremendously, and that's our job. That's our job to give back to our youth. That's our job to help instill that in them, the things that are missing in that village. We had a strong village, there's no doubt about it, but we also know that some things are missing, but that's our job to pick up what is missing and try to instill those values into our youth today.
Well, how long have you guys been in existence?
Well, we've been in existence, we just had our fourth anniversary, four-year anniversary, but the beautiful thing about that is that when we first started off, it wasn't about mentoring youth, it was really about empowering each other, us as adults, because mm-hmm. we need it too.
Absolutely. I mean, you need that companionship. You
Most
need that positive
definitely.
Energy.
So for 2 years, we just were in the community just to help pick up trash. We picked up trash. We had a nice event where we just picked up trash. We had a event where we combated domestic violence mm-hmm. and just violence in the community. We partnered up with Ad Hoc and Police Athletic League. We did things like that for the first 2 years.
Okay.
As we grew and we manifested into an organization to say, look, we have to concentrate on our youth. They need us the most. So that's why we got started, to find out where is it needed the most for men to get involved. And that was for our youth boys.
So you talk a lot about love and, you know, the women's the women behind you guys. Tell us a little bit about Zandra.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a lot about Zandra. Zandra is my wife.
Of course.
Zandra,
hey,
Bahia
Zandra,
Dean.
Baby.
I hope you're listening.
Too.
And what people don't understand is that doing the things that we're doing when we're in the community, it takes your family. When I was raised, and it was about God first, family, and then community. But you cannot get to the community if your family is not solid and have your back. There's a lot of things you have no idea that I need help with that I have to turn to my wife and other women that are in the organization.
Well, I follow your wife on Facebook. That's why I'm asking, because she seems like she has her own thing going on. So I'm trying to figure out how she keep up with you and her own thing, because she is a brilliant woman. I follow her.
See, that's amazing, because I just asked her that question yesterday. I said, you do a lot, so I really appreciate the things that you do for me.
And you know, the family.
And
yeah.
the family, because it is very, very challenging. Because there's a lot of times that I would love to be more with my family, but they have to let other things pull me away sometimes.
Well, the reason why I brought that up, because, you know, a lot of times for us, we're moving constantly, and people think it's just you by yourself. You know, I have a wonderful support team, too.
Right,
you know,
right.
And I know that I need that in order to continue. So that's why I asked the question. And I want people to be able to see that it takes a partnership. It takes strength
from two
a lot of the times to make something really work. That's
Most
fantastic.
Definitely.
I'm going to talk to the listeners right quick.
All right.
And then we'll move on to the next. So if you're listening to us, you can join in this conversation. It's 816-931-5534. If you are following from Facebook or Instagram, remember that you need to have your radio turned on to hear the caller. I hate for you to get in the middle of the show and say, I can't hear the caller. And I'll be like, I know, duh. But anyway, make sure that you do that. So let's move right along. We also have Nora in the studio.
Okay.
And Nora is also from the Islamic faith. And so I just want to ask you some questions about your faith. How does being a Muslim makes a difference in your organization? Typically, we don't ask this type of question, but we have a guest. We're going to segue into that. Normally, it's just about your organization, but most people have a faith base.
Right.
And most people are Christian that show up on this show.
Right.
It's good to get a feedback from someone other than a Christian that has a positive moral value to them. So why don't you explain that a little bit about your religion and your background and how that helps?
Of course, I was born Muslim, and the fundamental principles of Islam and Christianity are basically the same.
Absolutely, yes.
So we keep God first. And what really benefited me being a Muslim and within this organization is that a lot of the men, maybe 95% of the men in our organization are Christian, but 50% of them, if not 60% of them, have worked with me. I've been at UPS for over 30 years, and they have entrusted me as being a union steward, which is very honorable, for at least the last 10 years. You have to have trust within your peer people, co-workers, and that's where we got started. They all know that I'm Muslim. I was born Muslim. And so we had no problem with transitioning that to me being a leader of our organization. As a matter of fact, we voted. We voted on who would be president.
Mm-hmm.
And they voted me to be president, although I was the only Muslim there. So really, it was organic and it was just natural.
It's more about your character then.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And I appreciated them. And as a matter of fact, I'll share something with you that's very important. When they voted me in as president, they knew me personally. And the first thing I said at the very next meeting was that I felt compelled to let them know, you all know I'm Muslim, and you know that you voted me in as president and the leader of this organization. I know you all trust me, but we may run into issues in the future, because I understand that some people have misconception of Muslims and Islam.
So when you were thinking about those issues, what did they look like to you?
Those issues look like people that are ignorant to
education of religion.
Absolutely. It's the knowledge, meaning that some Muslims may do something that's may be misconstrued or may be true as something negative.
Let me help you out.
Okay.
Because I get it all the time with Khadija and the Y Guy. If you don't know what the content of Khadija and the Y Guy is, just like the White Privilege Conference, then you will judge. And I've been judged. I've been called some of everything, Uncle Tom or whatever. But at the end of the day, it can't stop the work in progress that needs to be done, you know.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to let you continue. I'm sorry. I didn't mean
please.
To interrupt you.
This is conversation. I love it. But it was just so important that I let them know that, because I knew that growing up as a kid trying to do the right thing, as a matter of fact, being criticized for doing the right thing because I was Muslim, because of my name, Marab Bahayuddin.
I know what that's like.
So I had to learn the hard way. But even with my own, I'll call it village that I grew up in, criticized me for doing something right, because I want to do something right, that helped strengthen me on who I am today.
Yes.
Keeping God first and being a Muslim and those basic principles.
I don't know why you had me pumping my fist right at that moment, but I was definitely in tune. So, you know, let's move this conversation forward. If you want to join this conversation, it's pretty in-depth. I love it. Call us 816-931-5534. Remember to keep your comments or questions short, because we are on a time frame for this show.
We definitely want to hear from folks who have certain preconceived notions of what it is to be Muslim. So
absolutely.
All you folks that think all Muslims are terrorists, call us right now, 816-931-5534. It's funny, the phone just started ringing. who knows, right? But a lot of stereotypes, right, Murad?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Especially with this new ban and things out there, the immigration laws and things.
Yes.
How do you feel about the climate of the country right now, being Muslim?
Right now, a lot of times I gauge the climate on what people share with me, because being the leader of an organization, I have to watch the way we move, because if it's something that's too volatile, Mm-hmm. I have to know that people are looking for me to stand up
or absolutely. Make some kind of statement or
absolutely.
What have you.
So I'm very careful in that because I represent a lot of people. But the climate these days is that and people are very uptight because here in America we have been used to feeling comfortable, if you will.
So before we take a caller, I want to ask you a couple more questions. Being black, a mm-hmm. black man, and being a Muslim man, how does that reflect to you in your everyday life?
Being a black Muslim man, I'm so proud of who I am. I love who I am. But being a black Muslim man, I feel like I'm a king, I'll be honest with you. I feel like I'm a king, and I just try to live by example.
I think that comes from our background.
I know.
As soon as you said king, I said, well, hell, I'm a queen.
Yeah, because I would love to, give you a perspective of something that's gloomy. But mm-hmm. being from where I'm from and
right,
what I've gone through and the way God has blessed me, I feel like anytime I'm talking about giving back, I must feel like I've accomplished something, to feel like I have something to offer our youth.
Why don't you give out the information on how people can get in touch with you for Men of Vision and Ladies of Vision as well? And then we'll take the caller, and then we'll incorporate Nora into the conversation.
Okay.
Because Nora's been so patient over here.
I know. She's so patient. But please.
I love listening.
Contact us. Our website is MOVE, that's MOVE, 2013.org. Our telephone number is 816-842-MOVE. That's 6682.
And give that number one more time, and then we'll take the caller.
Please give us a call at 816-842-MOVE. And the website is MOVE, M-O-V-E, 2013.org. And that's the same number you can call for love because we share the same office.
Hey, y'all, I just want y'all to know, Marad looks just like his brother, Yaya, and I'm just sitting
that's
here
right.
having a few flashbacks. But we have a caller. State your name, what part of town you're calling from, and direct your question to our guest or comment.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First name?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam.
My name is Mahasin Abdullah.
Well, welcome.
Good morning, Mahasa.
Good morning. I feel so good to know that it was a group of us that helped to raise Marad to be who he is. And back in the day, we had a school, Sister Clara Muhammad.
Oh, God.
I remember.
Yeah. You remember.
Me too.
And it was all of us parents who came together. We were raised in a church.
Right.
So we are a unique group, period. And I'm so happy for Marad that they have taken the bar. Khadija, you all have taken the bar and running with it. We need you all so much. It needs to continue because our children and the way the society is going today, It's off the chain. It's ridiculous. We do need community centers. We do need places for people to understand Islam. If it wasn't for the grace of the one God for us as American Muslims, I don't know where we would be. I am so grateful. I am so thankful. When I didn't know Marad was on the program. I just listen to KKFI all the time. Sometimes in the day, I don't get to hear it at 9 in the morning. So Khadija and the white guy, I heard about and never listened to the program. So when it was on today, I'm listening, Marad, Biden.
Ain't God good. People.
Yes, he is good. But I'm so happy for y'all that you all have, we are on the backs of people. Marad, we didn't have a clue when we were doing the school and we had band together that today you guys were still be standing up for the cause. I cannot give you enough props and discontinue. I will contact you, Marad, to find out what I can do
okay.
to help.
Thank you.
And you know that I will be more than willing to do anything you all want me to do.
Thank you, Mahasin, for calling in.
Thank
we
you
appreciate
so
it.
Much.
Thank you for the compliments.
I love y'all so much. I really
thank,
do.
Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam. I tell you, I talk about this often in our organization, that it took a village. When you hear me talk about a village,
absolutely,
we were in that village. And I know, Khadija, you understand. Anything good that we could bring to our youth, any good that we can bring to our peers, it's
I
because
think it comes from our experience.
It comes from our experience. And it
right.
wasn't all good, because when they gave us that experience, we had to take it to our peers that did not digest that. Although we were smiling, and although we were trying to bring joy to our communities, it was not always
it was
welcome.
Not, it was not easy.
But it was because it was, of...
Let me give an example.
Go ahead.
Running track, cross country, and playing basketball, where the uniforms were not desirable for Muslims,
right.
and happened to walk that line of being modest while you are performing, and then watching people make a mockery of you at the
right.
same time, it wasn't easy.
Right.
But I wouldn't change it for the world, because it makes a difference in who we are today and why we're doing what we're doing today. So, hey, pass out to you,
you know,
toot,
well, toot. Yeah, I'm so honored to
Can
to
I
be
add
here
that, you know, listening to both of you talk about your history together and how you're both such strong leaders in the community, I have a 19-month-old son, and I'm thinking to myself, and after listening to Sister Mahasin, I hope that, you know, my son would be having this conversation when he's your age. And
Well, I want to put this out there, because I don't want anyone to misunderstand who I am. I grew up as a Muslim. I have the respect that I had when I was younger for Islam still. But I have been a Christian for 8 years or longer. So it was something that totally God did to me. But it's my choice. It's the walk I want to walk. But my entire family is still Muslim. And I would not have changed who I was growing up for nothing in the world. I mean, it is absolutely why I'm the Khadija I am right now, sitting
right.
here speaking
absolutely.
With you guys. We have a caller, and then we're going to move you into the conversation. Caller, state your name and what part of town you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Hassan Fatima. I know Hassan. Assalamu alaikum from Hassan. I am not a resident originally from Kansas City, but I want to thank the Nation of Islam. I've learned a little bit better, some understanding of them, because, you know, there has always been negative concepts about your that particular set of group. I respect them very much, and I have learned how much you have done and tried to enlighten our people, the young men, and I just want to say I'm grateful. Khadija, I just started listening to your program about a month ago, and I've been listening to it for a while, and I am enjoying the program.
Well, thank
I
you.
Want to thank you, Murad. I've been down to the Islamic nation, insurer and stuff, and I respect everything you guys are doing. And may Allah reward you, and we keep you strong. And yes, we do need this, because we are losing our children, and we need strong men. We need a strong community, and continue to keep doing it.
Thank you so
That's
much.
All I have to say.
Thank you.
All right.
So, Nora, you've been so patient.
Oh, no.
Over there, looking like a pretty little daffodil.
Oh.
Yeah, look at Nora. She's so beautiful.
Oh, no. Nora is Palestinian, so she's familiar with a lot of world politics as well as what goes on here in the United States. So we might even bring that into the conversation later. But, yeah, welcome, Nora. Glad
Thank
to
you.
Have you again.
Appreciate you having me.
So Nora, I'm going to ask you the same question. You know, you're not a black woman.
No.
But you are Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine that sometimes you're in your hijab, you know, and you have some issues. But I don't want to answer the question for you. I want to know what it feels like for you to be Muslim in America.
Well, I have been, for me, being Muslim in general has been a wishy-washy experience in some cases, depending on the situation. But I grew up in Jordan. And my story growing up hasn't been that of a strong connection to faith. It's mostly when I came to the U.S. where I started thinking about faith, because I got to meet other people who were not of the same faith. Because I was in a Muslim country, and I never got to really think about it as much. But I've seen that, you know, growing up in a Muslim country, I was witnessing different forms of persecution and was raised to not be civically engaged, to not talk about religion or politics or sex for that matter. I was...
Can I interrupt you? Was that because of the climate in Jordan or just...
So, yeah. And when I was... I'm the oldest in my family and we have... I have three younger siblings. And I was about to go when I was 18 years old to study in California. So my parents had to face the question of how are you sending your oldest daughter by herself out of all places, you know, to the U.S. to study art out of all things? Have you lost your mind? You know, so they had to fight for that and make sure that, you know, they telling people that they trust me with my decisions, that if I wanted to do whatever or lose my path, I could have just done it anywhere I decided to be. I don't have to be in the Middle East to do that, to be a good Muslim. But I have, to answer back to your question about what does being Muslim mean to you, for me, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is for me the example of an activist. And when I was growing up in Jordan, her father, was on a way. He teaches Arabic at the University of Jordan. When he was on his way back home and was in a cab, was just chatting with the cab driver saying, I don't think the Prophet is related to the king of the country. And wow. He recorded that without him knowing and took him to prison for 3 months just for saying something like that. He wasn't trying to rally or organize. He was simply sharing an opinion. So that culture of fear, she was trying to give it down to me, hand it down to me, like, here, don't talk about politics, because if you do, this is what will happen. You will be persecuted. You will go to prison. And I came to the U.S. thinking that when I was 18, until I saw people of color and Jewish people talk about the issue of Palestine.
And so that kind of gave you the courage.
It gave me the courage to become more pro-Palestinian from a human rights perspective versus an ethnocentric perspective. So I'm not pro-Palestinian because I'm from there, but I'm pro-Palestinian because if this happens to anybody and any human around the world, then that's wrong, period.
Well, that was the biggest shift. When you think of an assembly, you don't cheer for the other people. You cheer for your village, right? So, yeah.
But I've noticed that this fear has also been present in a post 9/11 society where kids, 40% of Muslim American children, face some form of bullying in high schools today.
Yeah.
And I have a friend of mine who, around the election season, was driving on the highway, and she wears the hijab, and there was this guy with a Trump sticker on his truck who tried to push her off the highway.
During the climate of the country during that time, I remember fearing for some of my nieces and nephews who were attending Islamic schools and the threats that were coming through, and it was just unbelievable, the anger toward just the Muslim population, you know. When I look at terrorism in itself, you know, you have terrorists that are white who never get the backlash of being Christian or whatever religion they come from. It just seems to me that it's more pronounced no matter who you are. If you're Muslim, then you're a terrorist. And it was so hurtful. I was so angry during that period of time and so confused, because at the time I was transitioning from being a Muslim to Christian, but it wasn't one of those things that I'm transitioning because I hate Islam. It's transitioning because this is what God wants me to do. And so watching my families go through one thing and being in a world of another, it just brought so much anguish to me and a different perspective about how we should look at the world. And I imagine for you that you have the same issues with being a woman, one, and two, you know, being a Muslim, trying to carry a torch in a civic arena, that must be very difficult for you to do.
Right. I mean, and there's this...
Follow-up. What gets you to do that? What is the push?
Okay. The push. So on the ballot, I have to mark as white, and I don't identify as being white.
Well, you kind of look white.
I kind of
look
except
for your nose and your eyebrows.
But you know, how do I know if, you know, other Muslim Americans are voting? Like, how do we track that? Are we Why do politicians need to listen to us if we're not able to demonstrate in numbers how many of us are actually voting? There's been this study by the Institute for Social Policy and Understanding about that surveyed that it came up. It said that Muslim Americans or American Muslims are the least likely faith group to vote. And it's not because of apathy, but it's because of apathy and the reasons to vote. Like, they don't find that they don't like the choices that they see. So
I can agree with that. Yeah, I can attest and to
I
that.
Can exactly, and a lot. I think a lot of people can. But I think what we're trying to do with the Muslim Civic Initiative is to really get people involved in local politics. We've had. We've been in existence for a very short period of time, for 5 months, and we've had 3 listening sessions so far at different masjids where we've had community conversations.
So let's back up. Let's tell them what we're talking about, what organization is that, and what you guys do, and then go back into that.
Sure. The Muslim Civic Initiative is an organization that was formed by 8 co-founders. They are young people from different backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds, but mostly Muslim. We are all Muslim, and I think that was the point. I think we've realized that we looked around town. There are great organizations, very well-meaning organizations, but there isn't enough young Muslim leadership that are in the forefront and leading the issues that they care about. So we formed this group in hopes of getting the 30,000 American Muslims in the Kansas City metro region to become more civically engaged on the local level, not necessarily on the federal national elections. So in our listening sessions, almost 50%, if not 60%, didn't even know what local elections were about and never voted in a local election. So I
got a question for you. You brought up something interesting. It kind of jogged my memory about something. You said that your group is totally Muslim. Mm-hmm. Do you allow Christians in your group?
We do, absolutely. If they want to support us in our mission, absolutely. Why not? But in the core leadership is a Muslim group. It's about uplifting that specific population because there are other groups in town that are completely Christian and completely white, to be frank, that are taking on issues of Islamophobia and issues that are affecting day-to-day Muslim lives. And we just want to feel like we're also leading when it comes to our own issues.
Okay, because I brought that up because, mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter and some other organizations mm-hmm. that are not black have tried to be a part of Black Lives Matter, and for some reason or whatever their reasoning is, that's not a suitable thing. And maybe because, there's strength in the number of black people versus seeing a mixed group. Is that the way you feel about your organization? Is that the more strength you have in Muslims for the cause of Muslims mm-hmm. makes a difference than diluting it? And I don't mean that in a emotional way, but diluting it with other religions and backgrounds.
Right. So with Black Lives Matter, you don't have white leaders. It's mostly black leaders who are pushing the movement forward.
And I feel they feel like it's going to be diluted the more of a different race they allow in.
Right, exactly. So
you think that of Black Lives Matter? That's what you're saying about.
Well, that's the reading I get, and that's just my opinion, y'all. Y'all can jump on me if you want to, but nobody else is saying it. Okay.
I also want to remind our listeners that we're open to their calls right now at 816-931-5534. We'd love to hear from you this morning and weigh in on this, whether you know anything about Islam or Muslim. If you have an opinion on just the idea of stereotyping, which is a common thread here, a very common thread. Please call us right now, 816-931-5534. And our guests, by the way, just to remind our listeners, are Noor Higley, who is co-founder, along with 7 other people, of the Muslim Civic Initiative, and Murad Bahayuddin, who is with MOVE. Move.
So Murad, I want to bring you into this conversation. Okay. And it's more from a protective side. Growing up as a woman, as a young woman, trying to make it in the world and be modest, where some people infringe upon that. How do you feel about that? And from a Muslim man's perspective, what should women do to protect themselves in those situations?
Well, quite frankly, I don't believe that it's just up to women to protect themselves. I think that's important. But I think
I'm gonna give you a toot-toot on that, baby. Toot-toot. I don't want to be fighting.
But it's so important that we as men, and I mean Christian men, Muslim men, men of faith, understand the importance of our girls, our young ladies, and our women. And those are our mothers and our aunties and our grandmothers. That's our job to help protect you all. And I think that is so important when we talk about empowerment.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also important to for women to recognize that men are trying to help
Absolutely.
Them and accept the help.
Absolutely.
And don't let that fall on deaf ears, because it's a two-way street.
Yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah, most definitely.
So we have a caller?
We do indeed. Caller, you're on the air. Your name and area town you're calling in from?
Hey, this is Hunter, and I'm calling in from Overland Park.
Great. Thanks for calling, Hunter.
I just wanted to say that I've met many Muslim people, and I have a friend who's Muslim, and I've never had a problem with Muslim people. I get along with them fine. And I've never really met anyone who's had a stereotype that's negative about people of the Islamic faith, but I think it would be interesting to have somebody call in and, you know, and state their opinion about that. And I got to say that I've learned a lot about their religion and their culture from food, actually. I was in a restaurant the other day that's called Manasawa in Overland Park, and I've talked with those people. They're really great. And, yeah. So that's my opinion.
Hey, thanks for calling
thank
in,
you
Hunter.
For your opinion, Hunter.
Yeah, you know, speaking of food, Khadija and I both go to a place, the Olive Cafe. Is that what it is?
It's a great place.
Yeah, and, you know, all Muslim ran and so forth. So, yeah, there are lots of white folks going there, I just want to say.
I want to put my disclaimer out there for that now. My sisters are listening. I'm not trying to create those meals. I just go shopping so that y'all can do it.
Yeah, they do a wonderful job. It's great food. We go over there about once a month, my whole family. We absolutely love it. But, you know, this is what the way the world is supposed to work is we're not judging, you know, the guy down the street who's got a restaurant because he's of the Islamic faith.
Right.
It's a good restaurant.
I am judging him a little bit. I'm like, man, what did you do to make that meat taste the way it did? There's a little place in City Market. I mean, they have some fantastic food, too. But we don't want to get off the subject.
Yeah, someone, I'm also on the board of the Teamsters National Black Caucus, and I tell you, we have been getting incredible help from the Teamsters within our organization. But how that reference to food is that they asked me, they said, we noticed that you don't eat a lot of the food that we prepare because we don't eat pork. And there's no disrespect. I mean, if you eat pork, please enjoy as much as you want.
I say stop it.
But when they asked me, they said, you know, we want to feed you, too. So I said, you know, with all due respect, if we ever have food or if we want to go out, I'll try to eat more healthy. And it's not just pork. Mm-hmm. It's fried foods.
It's a holistic.
Because
when you
of good
better,
health.
You do better.
Exactly, exactly.
We don't always follow through with that. But we have another caller.
Have actually two callers, and I just want to say I'm hoping one of them will be Donald Trump. Maybe he'll weigh in on what he thinks of Muslims, but who knows. Caller, your name and area town you're calling in from?
Maybe Sean Spicer.
You're on the air.
Hey, my name is Darren Allen. How you doing?
Darren, thanks for calling this morning.
All right, calling from Wyandotte County. Just want to give out some shouts to Marad, a great guy.
Hey, shouts out here go toot toot, baby.
What's going on, my man?
Yeah, I've worked with Marad for years. I mean, many years. And just something about this brother. I mean, he's just a positive guy. You know, I've even checked around for days that he's been in a bad mood or something. And, hey, I haven't caught him yet. So, you know, just want to say, hey, man, Muslim, whatever you are, man, it's a pleasure to know you.
Thanks,
man. It really is.
I appreciate
man,
that.
You sound like you got a little swag in your voice. You white or black.
Hey, man, that's Mr. Darren.
That's that dot coming out of you.
That's the Mr. Darren Allen. And I will let you know, my good brother, Mr. Darren Allen, that there are a few days that I'm not so happy. That's because, you know, my pockets aren't full of cash like your pockets are.
You need to cut that out, buddy.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. Thanks,
yeah,
Dan.
We do have another caller. Let's see who this is on the other line. Your name and area town you're calling in from.
This is Dorothy calling from Midtown.
Hey, Dorothy. Glad
Good
you
morning.
Called.
And I'm an African-American woman. I've been practicing Buddhism for 30 years, and I would love for you guys to do a show on different sects of Buddhism, because there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding about Buddhist philosophy.
Well,
thank you.
Dorothy, would you call back in and leave your number with my father?
Oh, I'm there at the station. So
yeah, she's a programmer here at the station.
I just didn't want to assume.
Lady D, okay. Thanks for calling in this morning.
Thank you.
You know, just back to the stereotypes. So we talked about this earlier, but I think it's important for our listeners to weigh in on this, and that is that when a Muslim does something in this country and it's not a good thing, what do people say? Well, they're all terrorists. Look at this. These people, we got to, you know, that's what Trump's, his whole policy is founded on, right? Is these people are terrorists.
Right.
And just like our callers, you know, I've got several Muslim friends. I've never found any of them to be terrorists. I do know several white people who are a bit off the chain, right? We have people that, you know, go postal.
Did you just use my word? You stole my word. Off the chain.
Off the chain.
Off the chain.
Can I use that?
You can. Word
but,
to anybody.
You know, but nobody says, look at all those white people.
Right.
They don't classify us based on that one white person's bad behavior.
Right.
Can I make an analogy real quick? You know, in the Middle East, the climate is totally different. And the Middle East does not consist of just Muslims. It consists of Christians and other religions as well. Most people in the Middle East wear the hijab not because of religious preference, right, because of the climate. And they have taken that look, the hijab, mm-hmm, the way you dress, and personified it with the branding of terrorism. Because if you see a person in hijab, does not necessarily mean that they're Muslim. I worked at Dairy Queen with some Palestinians who were Christians, but they all wore the hijab because that was their culture.
Right.
It was not their religion. So understand that culture and religion are two different things, and it's the same that goes for Christianity. Just because you see someone dressed normally doesn't necessarily mean that they're a Christian.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so,
no doubt.
You know, that stereotype, just get try to open the book before you judge with the branding of that that the media has done for you.
Well, it's about modest dress. We have our culture here, and we have different.
Well, sometimes I step out of the modesty, but, you know.
And I'm saying about the Muslim dress is about modesty and the way you dress. But I tell you, we were talking about it earlier about religion and politics. Are we very careful talking about that? But the few people that I can talk to about that, I let them know if there's something, since I'm with some people, the only Muslim that they know, I let them know if it's something that I make a mistake on, don't think that, don't blame that on
the
Islam
religion.
Please don't
blame it on
know
me,
that
the
I'm practicing Islam,
right?
I'm not a perfect example of our prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, Prophet Muhammad. Just know that, you know, I'll practice Islam.
I think that's
and
a very good point to make.
Right.
Yes,
absolutely.
I want to take a caller, but first I'd like to just make a quick shout out to a couple of my Muslim friends. Hello, Yasin and Adnan, and also Dr. Sophia Khan, who several of us know around the table here, and she is a wonderful spokesperson for Islam. So let's take our caller. You're on the air. Your name and area town you're calling in from.
Yes, this is Ray calling from North Kent City.
All right, Ray, good to have you this morning.
Yes, I would just like to speak on the stereotype, and being a black person, we have a valid understanding of stereotype because all black people are not criminals either. And we're being in this country, we've been stereotyped that way. And being a Muslim does not make you criminal either, you know. You're not a jihadist or none of these things. We understand that, so we should have a better understanding of each other, you know. And being black and a Muslim, you're getting the double dose of it. And I can understand and I appreciate y'all coming on and having this conversation and enlightening all of us on the things that are actually happening right here in the United States, you know, about stereotyping. And as a black person, I say, we should all be together because we are all being stereotyped from the white perspective. And I listen to your comments off air. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. Just one more thing. To be fair, we do stereotype other people. Let me give you an example. Whenever I see a guy in a great big pickup truck with a gun rack in the back and wearing a ball cap, I usually think that that guy has got a certain political point of view.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it happens Not just.
Yeah. You know, your mind can do that to you. The more you look at certain things, I watch Criminal Minds, and every time I see a white guy in a trench coat, I'm like, I'm making eye contact with other black people because they thinking the same thing.
I can tell you something that was my experience. Like the caller said, being black and a Muslim, I'm telling you, it's been very challenging. But I tell you what, I wouldn't change it because...
There's that question again.
Because
Keith,
look, because this is important, because being a black male gave me a lot of practice on as far as stereotype. But when I got older, like I said, I've been at UPS for 30 years. And what really, really opened my eyes and helped me grow was becoming a driver for UPS. I saw how wearing the brown uniform, they would welcome you and smile and open their doors, things that I wasn't accustomed to. Although I was a friendly person always since birth, to be welcomed that way opened up my eyes to other cultures. And then once that opened my eyes, I said, you know what? We have to bridge that gap.
That brings up an interesting question about your community here in Kansas City.
Okay.
Do you think the climate here is worse than around the country as far as, like, relationship building? Is it easier to form relationships when you're out and about because the climate is different? Because I have experienced a lot of racism here in Kansas City.
Versus where?
Versus just traveling around and just being greeted with open arms and not that stereotypical thing when people look at you. Like you said, it's the uniform that did it for you.
Right.
And we got to look at we also have to look at the good. I mean, it's important for us to acknowledge what's going on. And, you know, racism is real, no doubt about it. But at the same time, there's some good things happening. For example, this man got voted in. You know, he's Muslim and everybody else is a Christian is the way I heard it.
Absolutely.
Right. So there is some good things happening.
Well, that is a good thing, happening. But that goes toward the question I'm challenging him to ask.
Well, in my reality, a lot of times when I would travel out, I would be wearing my uniform. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, okay, you're welcoming him.
Let me tell you, you couldn't wear your Islamic garb and drive the UPS truck.
Right.
Okay, that's the point I was trying to make.
Right.
Okay, so we have a caller.
Fair point, yeah. Caller, you're on the air. Name and area town you're calling in from?
Hello, my name is Jen from South KC.
Hey,
good to have
friend.
You, Jen.
Toot toot, baby.
Hey. Toot toot. I have a question for Murad. So as being a black man in America and a Muslim, what do you find more hurtful, seeing black men killed by police or just the misunderstanding of being a Muslim in America?
All right, we have another caller trying to get on the air there.
That's yeah.
Being a black man killed by police, I tell you, that hits me real hard. That hits me very hard because although now we work with the police, like I said, we had something with the police athletically as we got older.
Hey, you know the police codes? Just kidding.
And we work with law enforcement even when I was a child. But I also cannot forget about some of the not so pleasant things that I've had personally with the police, you know, and on which I've come to realize that the answer to the problem, and this is coming from me, this is not move, this is me, the answer to the problem is for us to control our own neighborhoods, to police our own neighborhoods, even to join the police force, as opposed to letting other people police you that don't love you.
Mm-hmm.
It has to come from the
check
people.
Check yourself first.
Absolutely.
Before somebody else has to check you.
Absolutely. We have the power to do that.
Some people may not agree with that.
We just have.
And that's fine. That's why I say that's coming from me, not move.
But I think that's an excellent way for anybody to look at anything, no matter who you are.
Right.
Because you can't have no fault in it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And to add to that, most American Muslims support Black Lives Matter than any other faith group. So I feel connected to that in that way. And as well as being Palestinian, on a structural level, the programs that Israeli military use against Palestinians, the same racial profiling techniques are being taught to the American police to use against African American and people of color minorities here.
That's backwards. The American police invented that. Other countries are following that suit.
Or they're both on the same page. So
they are.
So
they are.
That's right. How they're connected.
But we invented this type of brutality.
Well, I'm not sure of the history of who exactly invented it, but I'm sure.
I might be wrong, but I strongly feel that way.
You're right.
That's Khadijah coming out.
But I'm pretty sure they're both using the same technique.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we just have a couple of minutes, so let's wrap up with final thoughts from guests or Khadijah.
Well, I'm going to let you guys take
okay,
the
lead. Well, I have a thought. Number one, I'm very honored to be here. And like I said, I grew up with Khadijah. So for us to be on this platform together, I'm really looking forward to the things that we can do moving forward.
Absolutely.
We have Men of Vision and Empowerment and Ladies of Vision and Empowerment. And like today, we're talking about race relationships and things like that. That's what's important. We all have to come together, Muslims, Christians, Jews, Buddhists. There is a common issue out there, and we need good people of faith to tackle those issues.
Amen.
Right. Nora?
And to add to what Brother Murad was saying, I look forward to learning more about your organization and working with you in the future. And I also want to say out to folks who are listening that the Muslim ban, the language of the Muslim ban that links Muslims to terrorists is very disheartening, and the answer or the to make this country safe isn't in the hands of the TSA. It's in the hands of our foreign policy and our local community organizing efforts. So with that said, I just want to say thank you for having us.
Yeah, well, let's also, we didn't talk about your other initiative out at Avila. So the Buchanan Initiative, which is for nonviolence, mm-hmm. right? Peace and nonviolence. So I think that's something probably all four of us are for.
Absolutely.
Right, is doing this in a nonviolent way.
Correct.
So that's also something that Nora is involved with, as well as the Muslim Civic Initiative.
Correct.
Yeah. So keep on doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming on the show, both of you.
Thank
it was a great
you.
Show.
It was definitely a pleasure. I just want to say I thank God for using me as a vessel, a person that can educate the public, and I hope that God continues to use me as a tool. Toot toot.
Yeah, we're going to wrap up a little bit different way today, and I just saw Larry J. walk in. Of course, Larry is right after us with that sweet Southern soul. So in February 2013, two individuals submitted a new show application to KKFI Community Radio. The name of the proposed show was Khadijah and the White Guy, and it's been a great 3 years. Next week, Khadijah's going to be right back here on KKFI at 9 o'clock, so we'll take a toot-toot from Khadijah here.
Well, I just want to say thank you, Keith, for the journey. I appreciate you being there with me. I think me being in a relationship with you on this radio show is what's going to get me to the next level so that God can use me in an even bigger platform. So I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to my dad, and thank you to all the callers. Continue to listen in and continue to push me to be the best that I can so that I can make a difference for all of us.
Hey, right on. Thank you. And one final toot-toot here before we take you off the mic. Go ahead.
Toot-toot, baby.
That was a good one. Well, anyway, we just want to take a minute and acknowledge some of our callers that have been so faithful to us. Wow, 3 years has been so wonderful. It's been a great ride with Khadijah and with all of you. So thanks to all of our loyal listeners and callers. And I want to mention these few names. I'm probably going to miss somebody, so apologies in advance. Some of these people have really touched me, including the very first person I'm going to name, Maurice Copeland, Imani, Rich, Dorothy, Brother Ron, James, Raymond, Brother Love, Jen, Richard, Kathleen, George, Jeff, Paul, Ace, Bingo, Melvin, Jack, Christine, Ralph, Robert, and so many more. Been just such a great ride. You've helped us make a show where it's a place where people could be heard and hopefully could learn from each other. A big thanks to our faithful phone answer, Brother Kareem, Khadijah's father, been doing it since the beginning. Special thanks to Mike Murphy, Beth Pike, Mike Lytle, and countless others, including the programming committee here at KKFI. Khadijah's going to be back next week, and in this seat will be Barry Jackson, a very capable programmer at KKFI. He's been here for years. I'll miss all of you, but I'll still be around KKFI. Catch me on the Thursday night local showcase or occasionally on other programs, and keep it tuned right here to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I want to end with a quote from a great broadcaster from LA. He's a man named Tavis Smiley. I'm sure many of you know him. And to all people everywhere, keep the faith. Here's Stevie.